The seasons are changing and the wind is howling. It's going to be a stormy night. Why don't you come inside and join me in the spellbound soiree? Welcome, listeners. It's been a week since our inaugural episode, and I have the latest scoop for you about what's going on in our little community. Last week, we were graced with the presence of Carl, the wizard from the Psionic Order. We have since learned that the reason for Carl's visit is that our home, the Enclave, is apparently ripe with etheric energy. That energy, according to Carl, can often attract great numbers of psionic monsters. And also, according to him, we should be at greater risk because of the dense ether in this area. You see, listeners, these monsters are born from pure ether, and it's just found in nature all around us. But when that ether is coalesced into a more dense form, it can become a delicacy to many creatures of this world. So while to us, our home may seem to be a veritable oasis with the blooming flora and fauna of this region, the reality is that to these monsters and other creatures, it's an incredible bounty, a feast of divine measure. I do wonder what else this dense ether can cause over long term. And did Magnus know about this when he led us here all those years ago? Was this his reason? Either way, I'm getting ahead of myself. Carl has informed us that he was following the tracks, so to speak, of an aboleth when he came across our home. I say so to speak because for those of you unaware, these creatures are not super cool, so. But an aboleth is a giant eel-like amphibian monstrosity. These creatures are thought to be, at best, mindless creatures of destruction, and at worst, maniacally driven and possess incredible, powerful, psionic abilities. Along with this, these creatures possess a most fearsome ability to turn any creature caught in a gray goo-like substance they secrete into a mindless servant. Carl has informed us that he has not found any signs of the creature here so far, but that we should still be on guard and take necessary precautions to protect ourselves. The main things Carl said was to keep out of open water for the time being and to not venture into any caves. The Cult of Magnus, the group that leads the worship of the hero and founder of what is now called the Eldritch Enclave. Though the council handles most of the issues, the Cult of Magnus is also the de facto protectors and leaders of the Enclave. You wouldn't be incorrect in thinking that the council is an extension of the cult. Either way, they have announced that it's election season, and they are going to elect a new Archsage of their cult. This comes as a great relief to us all in the wake of the untimely death of the previous Archsage. I know we were all worried that this might have spelled the end of the Enclave. Vala, the High Priestess of the cult, has also stated that prior to this election, they have unanimously agreed to hunt down and avenge the previous Archsage, Hangir. They haven't fully disclosed the events that led to his death. We do know that they found him after 9 days and 9 nights in the woods, dead, seemingly by hanging. Odd thing was that they were sure they had checked the area previously, but found no signs of Hangir in that area. But what I find strange about the scene they've described is that he was impaled with a spear before hanging. While the cult has been conducting an investigation to find exactly what has happened, I think they suspect the Aetherians had some hand in this. While that's been going on, those within the Athenaeum have been doing a different sort of investigation, attempting to divulge whether spiritual significance there may be in his death. Prior to his death, Hangir was notably researching some more esoteric texts from the cult of Yagnia. I don't think I need to remind you, listeners, of who the cult of Yagnia is. But we will get to them later, as I have some news about them as well. I come to you with grave news today, listeners. As you all know, a few days ago was the opening of the Arcade, a new building in the town square. A place where one could leave behind any worries of their lives and just enjoy the facilities. The Arcade featured not only games, but also other recreational and pampering activities, such as a spa and a sauna. Up to the opening, the building project was plagued by rumors of dark secrets. I mentioned a few of these last time. Rumors like, the Arcade is a facade only here to subjugate the masses and draw the attention away from the shadows. I'm unsure how much, if any, truth there is to these rumors, listeners. But one has to wonder with these recent events. A few days ago, only a couple of hours before the Arcade was due to open, it disappeared. Just vanished, without a trace. Carl and a few members of the council are researching to see if there's any connection to a monster he was tracking, and the building's disappearance. It's with heavy heart that I tell you, we lost 5 individuals along with the Arcade as they were inside at the time of the disappearance. The names of these individuals are as follows. Shyla Trevels, a witch employed by the council to set up some wards within the building. Fester, a professor from the Spire who was supposed to set up a small clinic within the building. Rutt and Slurk, 2 goblikin that were assisting Professor Fester with setting up the clinic. And gravest of all, we lost the Howling Spectre, the ghost that had been haunting the land long before the construction began. They, most of all, were looking forward to having an actual building to haunt. May they all find their way home to us. Potentially connected, earlier today, old woman Maeve informed us that she had made a discovery in her home. Recently, she's been hearing voices. She assumed that this was her grandson trying to connect with her from beyond wherever he is. Probably through some etheric means, or so she assumed. These voices, according to Maeve, get stronger as she gets closer to the basement. Once she was within the basement of her home, the voices then started to chant, "Dig, dig, 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 dig." So she got digging. And she's been digging since this occurred. Today, though, she hit an opening. Maeve is certain that this opening is going to lead to the underworld and help her grandson get home. Maeve is calling all adventurous types to build a party and venture into the opening in her home. She also mentioned lemonade and cookies, if that sweetens the deal for anyone. In other news, the council has approved a new task force. Their first order of business, once they have sufficient members, is to aid the Psionic Order, specifically Carl, with the monstrous threat we all face. In order to cut some costs, though, the task force will be instated as a guild within the Enclave, going by the name the Hammer of the Elder Ones. I believe I have something here, and I quote, "The name is of no importance, only a formality. I swear we are not a cult." With the creation of this new guild, some have taken to calling the Hammer, or Theo, I think. Nope. Sorry, I got thrown off. Anyone is welcome to join, should they pass the initiation and trials. They would not disclose to me what the initiation or trials entailed. They said it was for only those that joined to know, and not any outsiders. But the leaders of the guild assured me that they plan to combat the aberrations that surround our home, so we can all rest assured that Theo will handle it. Our town's beloved wildman, Vidkun, has been missing, as we're all aware and devastated by. Though this devastation hasn't stopped a lone lunatic from moving into his empty home in those solitary woods on that solitary hill. This deviant will be brought to justice, I assure you, dear listeners. I've informed Theo that this individual, I suspect, may be a fledgling of one of those aberrations that have taken residence in the nearby mountains. You just look at it, you can see the dark energy swirling about. But I digress. The individual taking residence in Vidkun's old home was reported as being incredibly hairy, lanky, with a hunch in his back. When he turned around for a second, the informant claimed he had bloodshot, bright purple eyes. Any concerned citizens are advised to stay clear of the old tower and report any strange going-ons to Theo. I do not wish to alarm you any further, dear listeners, but I have heard another rumor. It has been proposed by a few people who live on the walls of the Enclave that the Aetharians, our neighbors from the east, have been spotted scouting our home. For what reason, we're not sure. Perhaps they've already been overrun by the psionic creatures that have recently moved in, and they're doing the bidding of their new monstrous overlords. One can never be sure in these situations. The council have responded by upping surveillance on the surrounding walls to see if they can verify these reports, and to, if we're lucky, capture one and get some information from them. One local girl has a solution of her own to these recent events. Mavis, age 9, has reported that she found a broken-down automaton in the woods nearby. These automaton are from the ancient war our ancestors waged in defense from the invading Aetherians. Mavis, who is the daughter of the local blacksmith, thinks she could get the automaton working again and programmed to protect our home for any potential threats. When Mavis was asked what she named the automaton, she replied, "Billy Hogarth III. When further asked why the third, she looked at them confused and pointed at the other two she had already found. The local alchemist, Gruntilda, has been researching the local flora and has come to a startling conclusion. The trees, and indeed all the flora around us, are alive, and they are screaming. We don't know at this time if they are screaming in pain or out of fear. Gruntilda has claimed she sought the council's aid in this recent development, but was declined. When I reached out to her, she had this to say. I will get to the bottom of this, no matter what. I don't care if the council helps or not. Best of luck to Gruntilda in this startling development. If any of you listeners wish to help her, you may reach her by shouting out your window when she walks by. Possibly related to these recent events with the aberrations at night across the mountain range, to the south, various sightings of dark figures have been reported. These creatures appear to be humanoid in shape, though with the recent events, and the monstrous invasion, they could be servants of some psionic overlord. Nevertheless, Theo has been informed and have said once they've finished recruitment, they will look into any and all reports they've received. Now I have some messages from our lovely community. The council would like me to inform you that the spire is now completely safe. All dangerous floors have, and I quote, moved on. So all business to the spire should resume as normal until otherwise notified. Additionally, the council would also like me to inform you that next week there will be a curfew instated. They have said this is due to the recent activity with the aberrations, as well as the startling news or rumors about Aetharians potentially spying on us. A few have asked the council if they suspect the Aetharians are planning another war against us, but they made no comment. The Cult of Magnus has notified me that next week will be Magnus's birthday. They hope we will all leave out offerings of treats and pets to their canine mascot. They would also like me to inform any of you who are unaware that while Magnus is the name of the god, they and all worship, as he is our founder and savior, that name also belongs to the adorable pooch the cult has recently adopted. They did not name him Magnus, that was the name that he beamed into their minds when they found him. Perhaps this dog was sent by the god, but who knows? The Cult of Magnus has notified me that next week will be Magnus's birthday. They hope we will all leave out offerings of treats and pets to the canine mascot. They would also like me to inform any of you who are unaware that while Magnus is the name of the god they and most of us worship as he is our founder and savior, that name also belongs to the adorable pooch the cult recently adopted. They did not name him Magnus. That was the name beamed into their minds when they found him. Perhaps this dog was sent by the god, but who knows? It is with great sorrow that I come to you now, dear listeners. We have just received word that Maeve, the woman on woman keen on entering the underworld to get her grandson back was disappeared. A group of hardy adventurers types entered her home a few moments ago and relayed to me that she was missing through telepathic means, though the cookies and lemonade were still there. We are unsure what may have happened. Perhaps she's merely out for more ingredients to make more cookies and lemonade. Or more worryingly, perhaps she ventured in on her own. We all know how Maeve is. I'm sure everyone remembers that one time when her grandson went missing a few years ago, and she alone assaulted a nearby bandit camp because she thought they had her grandson. Or even more worryingly, what if she was taken by something coming out from the chasm in her basement? Let's all hope for the best for Maeve. After all, she is the pride of our community. Do you remember that crazy wild man I mentioned who moved into Vidkun's old house? Well, his name is Victor, and apparently he likes the trees. He said he's been living in the area for some time and just thought he'd keep watch over Vidkun's home until he returned. What a good upstanding citizen. I'd like to issue a personal apology for calling Victor a crazy lunatic prior to this, though to be fair, he does have the appearance of a Sasquatch with menacing eyes that could easily be mistaken for an aberration. Nonetheless, I thank you for your commitment to the forest and that small region of our home, Victor. This just in, Dave, our town crier, has been spotted sitting at the steps of the council building. We're unsure why at this point, but perhaps he's depressed by these recent events. Rampant aberration invasion is nothing to scoff at, dear listener. These times are hard on us all. Let's all lend our support to Dave the next time we see him. That reminds me, I did actually receive an invoice from Dave asking me to promote something for him. I was planning on doing this later, but in the light of this, I will do so now. Dave, our local crier, asks that if you wish to change your name or title, that you please visit him to get the proper paperwork done so that it can become official. Were you born a Richard, but now you're an Elizabeth? Or perhaps you were named Barry, but now you wish to be known as the Great Behemoth? Then seek out Dave. Dave would also like me to inform everyone that there are now options for pronouns if you wish to change or update those as well. Now that is something. If you find yourself in a situation like those, then be sure to reach out to Dave. Oh. One last message from Dave. He says, trans rights are human rights. Wow. What an upstanding guy. Let's all wish him the best going forward. To combat the recent power outages due to the aberrations attacking our home, the council has begun implementing a new lighting system in order to combat the monstrous attempts to plunge us into darkness. The power system is implemented through a revamp of our old power station with the use of Aethar crystals collected from and formed in the clouds above. These crystals are then powered through workers at the stations with the use of their aether. During the last attack, or shortly thereafter, we're not completely sure of the timeline of events at this time, but I digress. After the last attack on our home, a local orphan, Ricky, has gone missing. It is suspected by some that he may have run off to find a knight to train under them, as Ricky wished to become a knight himself one day. If this is the case, these individuals believe Ricky will show up to the ceremony of the sword that is happening in a few weeks. The ceremony will consist of many food carts, games with prizes, and a few different shows to be performed throughout the Enclave. However, the highlight of the festival, or the actual ceremony, is when individuals will test their might to pull out a sword from the stone in the center of the square. The thought is that Ricky will go there to seek out a tutor in the ways of the knight. Best of luck, Ricky. And now, here's the forecast.
Waiting for you back in your own backyard. You'll see your castle in Spain through your window pane back in your own backyard. Oh, you can go to the east, go to the west. Someday you'll weary at heart, back where you started from. You'll find your happiness lies right under your eyes, back in your own backyard. Go to the east, go to the west. Someday you'll come, weary at heart, back where you started from. You'll find your happiness lies right under your eyes, back in your own backyard.
Welcome back, listeners. It has come to my attention that Maeve, the woman who disappeared earlier, is believed to have been found. She seems to have fallen into the underworld, according to the adventurers that were on the scene and discovered her missing from her home earlier today. They claim to have ventured into the chasm a bit just to check out the local area when they stumbled upon the crumpled body of Maeve. She has since been returned to her home and is recovering nicely. The adventurers have said they will prepare and then re-enter the underworld in an attempt to retrieve Maeve's grandson, though they're unsure of where he may be, as they have no leads. So they said they may wait for Maeve to regain consciousness and ask her what she wants them to do. Hopefully Maeve makes a quick recovery. The festival for the flight of Morrigan will be occurring soon. The festival covers the time in which the goddess will disappear from our night sky, leaving us moonless for 3 nights. During this time, she will be searching for her lost love in the void. We celebrate the festival in order to encourage her and hopefully return her love to her side once more. The festival will have, of course, the usual affair with games, food, prizes, and shows. But the crown jewel of this festival is the final night, when one of the local coven of Morrigan will ascend to join the goddess in her celestial domain. I would like to inform those unaware that this is not a sacrifice. She will be literally ascending beyond the mortal realm. In other news, the council has announced that earlier this week, we received some visitors. The council has yet to acknowledge who these visitors were, or if they're in fact still among us. Some have posited the theory that perhaps these visitors were the dwarves from the local forest seeking refuge from the aberrations, but wish to remain hidden from the population at large. It is possible, but someone else suggested that the whole idea of visitors was implanted in our minds by an aberration to break us down and have us revolt or something. I'm personally unsure of what to make from these events, listeners. Perhaps there were some visitors, or perhaps there never any visitors, but each time someone asked a council member about them, they've confirmed the visitors did indeed come, but nothing more. If there are any of the local forest dwarves listening and they wish to chime in, you know where to find me. One of the local witches from the Coven of Morrigan has reached out to me with word that she has found a new way of binding a familiar. Instead of the traditional, let's just say, intimate pact, this new method allows for one to make a formal pledge with the spirit. Zalia Graves, the witch in question, has stated that while intriguing, she doesn't believe this to be the best form of connection between an Aether user and their familiar, due to the general lack of connection there. The intimate ritual, performed traditionally, well, it may take weeks and weeks of preparation, and the ritual itself can take up to a week. According to Azalea, it is still the best outcome for familiar binding, and offers the strongest connection. It has come to that time, listeners. I have received word from the Cult of Yagnia. For those unaware, the Cult of Yagnia is a local cult that worships the god Yagnia. He is said to be a god of drunken revelry, arousal, lust, basically anything hedonistic. God of hedonism would probably be a good summation of his character. There are some that express a darker side to him, but I digress. The cult would like to ask that since everyone is having a rough time of it, with the invasion and all that, they ask that we all drink more wine and other forms of alcohol. They claim this will help strengthen their god and strengthen our connection to him, if we so wish. They also asked me to relay this message. Anyone who wishes to join their cult or wishes to engage in a new form of aether control should come to meet us, or well, rather them, in the abandoned home in the Southern District. You know that home in the middle of the mysterious woods with the wall that... within the wall. Sorry. Their scribblings are sometimes hard to read. The one where there's always some weird fog rolling in across the floor. If this sounds like you, then perhaps you should seek them out. A word of warning, though, dear listeners. The trials for the induction into the cult are not for the faint of heart. And now, for some messages from our patrons. Grunthilda of Grunthilda's Florim would like to ask you to come down to her shop for all your floral needs. Need a bouquet for that special someone? She's got you covered. How about a single rose for that crush you have? She's got you there too. Well, how about a vial of Atropa Belladonna for that abuser in your life? Well, you should probably be more discreet, but she's got you there too. Leo, the local blacksmith and artificer of automatons, would like to inform anyone interested in new equipment to protect themselves from aberrations or Itharians to come to his shop. He has the best armor and weapons around. If those aren't your thing, he also has some automatons, both refurbished from what his daughter, Mavis, found, and ones of his own design to protect you and your loved ones. And lastly, Theo, the hammer, or the hammer of the Elder Ones, would like to invite any and all interested in joining the guild to hunt down the aberrations that infest our local ecosystem. They will offer training to those who come down to their newly established guild hall, which can be found on the north side of the guild square. The training will, of course, include some specific techniques on how to deal with psionic abilities from the member of the psionic order, Carl. If you're interested, you should head down to the guild hall at any time. They left me with this quote. We'll be waiting. Now that that's done, let's get into some stories from abroad, why don't we? What is going on outside our neck of the woods? Well, there are reports of a forest in the northern region, one that was brimming with aether, meaning there are a lot of witches or sorcerers or other aether users in that area. The forest in question, the locals refer to it as Hyderglade, and it has supposedly gone missing, along with all of its inhabitants. Not much is known why or how this could have happened. Reportedly, one of the aetheric orders has dispatched representatives to the nearby town of Lodbrokheim. If you remember last time, listener, I mentioned various sightings of blurry figures in that area. Perhaps they have something to do with this disappearance? Maybe these figures are actually aberrations that seek out strong aetheric energy and consume it? We won't know until we receive a report from that area. I have been informed that the Imperium to the south has a population of satyrs and it's on the rise. Supposedly, they're becoming a public nuisance, drunkenly wandering the streets and engaging in sexual acts in the broad daylight with anyone willing. Some say that these actions in satyrs are indicative of two things. Either they're mourning from a great loss and they're drowning their sorrows with alcohol and other pleasures, or they're in mating season. This would be out of the traditional mating season for satyrs, though, so most seem to suspect they're mourning for some reason. I have not been informed of any attempts to talk to the satyrs at this time. After long discussions throughout the past few years or so, the Council of Aetheric Orders have decided to induct a new order. The southernmost order of aetheric users, the Order of the Slingers. This opens up new trade routes for any kingdoms or communities, such as our own, to trade with our new southern neighbors. This order and region are located far to the south, being beyond that of the Imperium. Which is good, because the Imperium has shunned the aetheric orders in favor of their own aetheric leaders known simply as the Hand. They're supposedly said to be divine beings worshipped by the people of Nibiria. Whether this is true or not has not been confirmed. But that is all I have for you today, dear listeners. I would like to thank you for joining me in the Spellbound Soiree today, my dear listeners. As always, I hope you've enjoyed our time together, and I hope you've learned something new about what's going on in our little community, and those beyond. Remember, we can get through this together. Good night, and sleep well, my friends. The Spellbound Soiree is brought to you on the Eldritch Enclave Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of Spellbound Soiree. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll come back next time. Today's forecast was Back in Your Own Backyard, sung by Ruth Edding. The song was released in 1927 and entered into public domain in 2023. If you want to keep up with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram at Fekin_undead and on Blue Sky at Iacchus, that's spelled IACCHUS .BSKY.social. You can also email me at annalsofastrea@gmail.com. See you next time.